Got 20 minutes? Then you have time for a Bible study.
If you confess the Lord, call him up. If you confess the Lord.
Welcome to another episode of 20-Minute Bible Studies. Romans 10:17 says that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Over the next several minutes, you're going to hear an important message directly from God's Word and have your faith and knowledge increased. All you have to do is listen. Now, here are your teachers.
Hey everybody, thanks for joining us again. I'm Andy Balog.
And I'm Jordan Pine. Let's get started. Today we're going to talk about apologetics, but of a different kind. Most people read today's scripture as a call to be prepared to defend Christianity as a religion against arguments or attacks from other religions or atheists and so on. But we're going to take a closer look at what it's really saying.
So let's listen now to the Word of God.
1 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. And do not fear their intimidation, and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame. 1 Peter 3, 14 to 16.
We have a tendency to read verses like these and immediately fill in the blanks, if you will, with people or experiences from our own lives. But to properly understand this passage, Andy, we need to put ourselves in the situation and mindset of the original reader of this letter. That's why, before attempting to interpret scripture, we always use the SPACE method.
That's correct, Jordan. SPACE is just an acronym. The SP stands for speaker, the letter A for audience, the letter C for context, and the letter E for explanation. That is, we believe in understanding who was speaking to whom and what was happening at the time before we interpret or provide an explanation of what the scripture means. So right now, let's use the SPACE method here.
Okay, so the speaker is the Apostle Peter, and the audience is the members of several churches throughout modern-day Turkey. We see that in verse 1, which reads, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, of Galatians fame, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, who are chosen. The speaker is the first disciple chosen by Jesus, the disciple who confessed Jesus as the Messiah, the one who defended the gospel before the Sanhedrin, and the leader who preached the first Christian sermon at Pentecost. The audience is mostly Gentile believers who were scattered throughout the northern regions of Asia Minor, which again is modern-day Turkey.
Okay, so that's the speaker and the audience. Now we move on to the context. The context is a time when Christians were suffering persecutions. John MacArthur, famous author and Christian leader, wrote, "When the city of Rome burned, the Romans believed that their emperor, Nero, had set the city on fire, probably because of his incredible lust to build. The people were homeless and hopeless. Many had been killed. Their bitter resentment was severe, so Nero realized that he had to redirect the hostility. The emperor's chosen scapegoat was the Christians, who were already hated because they were associated with Jews and because they were seen as being hostile to the Roman culture. Nero spread the word quickly that the Christians had set the fires. As a result, a vicious persecution against Christians began and soon spread the Roman Empire." So Jordan, these Gentile Christians were being persecuted and scapegoated, but the Apostle Peter seemed more worried about internal threats than external threats. And if we look at 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 to 12, it reads, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts, which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, They may, because of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So Peter ends chapter 2 by stating, suffering is to be expected or even welcomed. It's avoiding backsliding that should be their main focus.
Yeah, we see that in 2:21, for you have been called for this purpose, since Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example for you to follow in his steps. And verse 25, for you were continually straying like sheep, but now you have returned to the shepherd and guardian of your souls. And that's souls is a key word there, suke. You know, so we see a bunch of different keywords here. We see sheep, which can only refer to the saved, not to the lost. We see continually straying, which means that there was an ongoing backsliding happening. And we see the word returned, which of course the lost cannot return to a shepherd or to the shepherd, as he was never their shepherd in the first place. And like I said, souls is an important word because it's not talking about spirits or spirit salvation. The Greek word means life or mind. It's where we get our word psyche from. And that means, you know, that is to say, he helps guard our minds and second tense save them as a continuous action.
You know, Jordan, chapter 3 opens with admonitions about godly living, and it gives us a window into what might have been going wrong inside the church at that time. And if we look at verse 2, paraphrasing, we could say Peter advocates, quote, chaste and respectful behavior for wives, implying disrespect or even adultery may have been a problem back then. And then in verse 7, Peter tells husbands to be understanding towards their wives and to show them honor as fellow heirs in the coming kingdom, basically implying women may have been viewed as second-class citizens. And then comes this passage immediately before our reading, Jordan.
Yeah, I'll read it. 1 Peter 3. To sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For, and then he paraphrases Psalm 34, 12 to 16, the one who desires life, to love and see good days, must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil.
Amen. So, moving on, now that we know who the speaker is, who the audience is, and of course the context of our scripture reading, we're now ready to attempt the explanation. So, there are three keys to unlocking these scriptures, and these are, number one, we need to understand traditional apologetics. Second key is zeroing in on what exactly Peter is speaking about here in these verses. And then the third key is going further to kingdom or kingdom of heaven apologetics. So, Jordan, let's go over them one by one.
Okay, so traditional apologetics. Let's reread 1 Peter 3:15. It says, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence. So here's a typical Bible commentary on that verse. It reads, we must be prepared to give our defense, to make the case for faith in Christ. We need to reject the cultural pressure to keep our beliefs to ourselves. Instead, believers should openly share the good news of redemption through faith in Christ. And then it goes on. The Greek word translated as make a defense is apologion, from the root word apologia. This is not related to the English word apology, where one expresses regret or remorse. Rather, the term means a justification or an answer back or a reason. This is the source of the term apologetics and apologist, which refer to a rational defense of the Christian faith.
Kind of like a defense attorney.
Exactly.
To make it simple. Okay.
So this is good stuff in many ways. The Greek lesson is correct. The definition of apologetics is also correct. But is the interpretation correct? That's what we want to zero in on today, Andy. Is this passage about making the case for, quote, faith in Christ against cultural pressures to keep quiet?
Being that we know what we know, and obviously don't want to let the cat out of the bag, but as we go on to key 2 and key 3, it'll be self-explanatory. But, okay, you know, to answer your question the best way I could, this particular scripture is not speaking about initial salvation, but it's actually a direct warning to Christians who are already saved to understand that they should expect these type of attacks, that God is in control of these attacks. And there's kind of twofold reasons for that. Number one, it's for Christians alone. It's to polish us up. It's to build up our integrity as Christians. We don't understand exactly why God chooses that style, but we know that it builds up our character. Now, the second fold benefit, and I believe reason why that God is doing that, is because in doing so and putting us through that training, what we're actually doing when we succeed and we become what Revelation says, overcomers, as we continue on that straight and narrow path, we're actually accruing and building up rewards in heaven. Right. So, and that's really the main term that Peter, you know, when he uses the word hope, right, that's kind of a segue into what he's going to be talking about later in his book there. Because he's saying, look, always have a purpose and a reason and an answer to people when you're willing to suffer. And I'm just, you know, paraphrasing.
Right.
When you're willing to suffer as a Christian, and, you know, you're, you know, us being, you know, on the defensive side against people who are trying to put Christians down, generally speaking, we need to always, with respect and honor and love, be able to give a reason why we're willing to take this abuse, if you will, right? Mm-hmm. So if you look at the news today, if you look at, you know, just randomly given an example, you know, there's an abortion clinic in Atlanta, Georgia, and there's a radical Christian group that decides, you know, on a Monday morning to plant a bomb there, and because they feel that, led by God, that they need to destroy this place, this evil place, you know. But that counteracts and it contradicts what Peter's trying to teach her.
Right.
Right. So if we apply this scripture to our lives, we understand it's not by force. It's always by grace, and it's always by God's will of how we, you know, show forth the goodness of God. And at the end of the day, for people to receive salvation and to shine God's light. And by doing that, and by swallowing and being humble and waiting on God to get the glory and open up people's eyes, we're actually, like I mentioned earlier, we're actually building up rewards in heaven. So that's, you know, kind of trying to sum up, you know, when you ask me about cultural pressures and, you know, should we keep quiet? How do we respond? It all depends on, you know, what the context is in that situation. But at the end of the day, we're always supposed to keep, you know, stay a classy Christian.
Yeah. Let's dig a little bit deeper into that, because you mentioned a lot of key things here, and you touched on our second key, which is what exactly is Peter speaking about. You mentioned the word hope, and, you know, it may seem like semantics, but hope is not faith. There are two different things. And maybe you can talk about the verses that show us that, Andy.
Sure. 1 Corinthians 13:13 shows that they are distinct from each other. And I'll read that verse for us. And it goes, but now faith, comma, hope, comma, love. So there's three different things there that Paul's mentioning. But now faith, hope, love. Abide these three. Live by these three, the rules behind this. But the greatest of these is love. And that's key. We lose sight of that. We pretty much lose the point. Now it's our egos that are, you know, are what we're calling apologetics.
Yeah, or there's no love in a bombing, as you brought up, right?
Exactly. And, you know, and that's kind of commonly what we see today, right?
Right.
So it's more hate. It's the opposite.
Right.
Right. If, like, you're not a Christian, you're not on my team, I hate you. You know, and now we totally miss the point.
Right. Yeah. And then, so faith, to define faith, you can look at Hebrews 11:1, the author of Hebrews. Many think it was Paul, somebody else, but it says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. So that's defining faith. And then Romans 8:24-25, which is written by the Apostle Paul, definitely, says, for in hope we have been saved, but hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he already sees? But if we hope for what we do not see with perseverance, we wait eagerly for it. So to summarize, Andy, faith is certain, it's conviction, it's assurance. Hope is uncertain and requires perseverance or works.
Yeah, I mean, we begin with faith in the gift that we receive from Jesus Christ. And then we continue in faith throughout our walk while, you know, the spiritual is unseen at this time right now because we're not raptured, we're not passed away yet. But, you know, a good question might be, you know, exactly what are we hoping for, Jordan?
Okay, so let's continue with key number three, which is kingdom apologetics. So to discover the kingdom key for today's scripture reading, we need to go back to chapter one and sort of put our kingdom ears on, or sometimes you say our kingdom headphones on, so that we can hear spiritually. 1 Peter 1:3-5 reads, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope, keywords, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance, also key, which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. Listen to this, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time.
Yeah, Jordan, I mean, here we see what exactly this hope is all about. And it's not the gift, it's the prize. It's about an inheritance, like Peter said, an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away.
Yeah, this inheritance is reserved in heaven for us, it says. And further, we are protected by the power of God through faith, which is sanctification or second tense salvation, or if you will, the ongoing salvation or preservation of our life / psyche, our life and mind.
And also, Jordan, you know, this future inheritance is called, quote, a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. And if we look at that carefully, it's actually third tense salvation, which we also know it as salvation into the millennial kingdom.
Yeah, Andy, if you go back to the first chapter of 1 Peter, you really see where Peter was going with what he's talking about later on. It's a key passage, and it really unlocks the entire meaning. It's interesting because oftentimes, this goes back to our context conversation, if you haven't read recently the introduction to the letter, for example, you might miss this. A lot of people, when they preach off of the verses that our scripture reading for today, for example, they will they'll overlook it, or they'll kind of spin it a different way. But when you go back to the opening of the letter, to these verses 6-9, you really see what Peter meant when he wrote today's scripture reading. So I like to read those. Maybe we can break it up. I'll do a little. You can do a little. But he starts off by saying, and this is really critical stuff, "In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And though you have not seen him, you love him. And though you do not see him now, but believe in him, you greatly rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, obtaining," listen to this, "as the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls." So outcome, not the origin, which means, again, we're talking about spirit salvation here, Andy, or second tense salvation.
Yeah, we're talking about the result. And a couple key phrases that I'd love for our listeners at home to kind of highlight in their Bible or take note in these verses, especially being that you follow our program and you know that, you know, our program is trying to graduate people from the milk of the word to the meat of the word. And these are going to be key phrases that you mentioned that I want to point out. And one of them is more precious than gold. And that's a spiritual gold that God is using through Peter as a reference. And you could read, you know, the book of Revelation and the letters to the churches, especially in the Laodicean church, how, you know, God is speaking to the churches back then to say, you know, buy from me gold. He's talking about a spiritual thing mm-hmm. here. So he's saying here that the proof of your faith is more precious than gold. And then going forward, another key word is, and it's tested by fire. Again, that's an allusion or a type to the trial by fire or the bema seat.
Right.
At which point every Christian's works is going to be judged in a furnace of fire, not a hellfire.
Right.
And then the other key points I wanted to just mention is obtaining as the outcome of your faith or the result of your strong faith, the salvation of your souls, like you mentioned, entrance into the millennial kingdom.
Yeah, and that can't be, you know, the gift, because obviously it involves works.
Absolutely.
And we know we can't, you know, according to Ephesians, we can't earn salvation. That's salvation.
Yeah, and a point really quick, Jordan, I just want to mention is that, you know, if you go back and you listen to this message again from the very beginning, and then you follow the steps that we've been kind of trying to unfold for you, you'll see that once you start reading these verses and once you hear us explain them, you'll look at these verses for the rest of your life in a total different light.
Right.
Like you mentioned, you'll have your kingdom goggles and kingdom headphones on, so you'll be able to find these things and be able to discern the difference between what grace is and what works result in.
Yeah, so again, in the context of him saying later on in our scripture reading, you know, always be ready to give a defense for the hope which is in you. If we skip ahead to the end of this block here in the first chapter, it says, "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ." And that's talking about the kingdom. "As obedient children, do not be conformed to the former lusts, which were yours in ignorance." Again, he's talking about some of the things they were experiencing internally to the church. "But like the Holy One who called you, be holy yourselves also in all of your behavior. Because it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy."
Yeah, I love that. That's amazing. So, you know, Jordan, for our listeners, let's look at some of the everyday takeaways from these passages of scripture. I'll just read a couple points that I think that would be key, and then, you know, whatever you feel. First, expect suffering. As a Christian that's looking to mature and enter the millennial kingdom, it's expected. So it's part of being a Christian. It's how God tests and refines us. So another point would be live your witness. Don't only be a hearer, but a doer of the word, and let your actions speak louder than your words. Always be ready to give a defense. And of course, it's not of the faith, but of the hope of a glorious inheritance. It's an imperishable reward. It's reserved in heaven for those who remain in the faith by walking according to whatever God's will is for your life.
Yeah, that's great points. You know, and specifically, you know, do not create disharmony among your brothers and sisters. Do not be unsympathetic or unloving, you know, cold-hearted, full of pride and boasting. These are some of the things that he covers in this letter, Peter. Do not take revenge, returning evil for evil. Do not respond to insults with insults of your own. I mean, we all have a tendency to do that, right? Instead, respond to insults with blessings, he says. And he also has a message for wives and husbands. He says, wives, stay faithful, respectful, and modest. Husbands, abstain from fleshly lusts. Be compassionate and understanding.
Yeah, you know, Jordan, in summary, what we're saying is live a life above reproach. And you might ask, well, why? Well, is it the right thing to do? And that's just because I love God and he loves me. Yes, but there's something more detailed and important to you specifically as a believer. Because you are hoping to receive a glorious inheritance. And the last thing you want to do is jeopardize that inheritance. Believe me, according to scripture, one day we're all going to be in paradise online waiting at the Bema seat. And the topic of conversation and the buzz that's going to be going on online is, did we do enough for the kingdom? Did I lose my inheritance? Did I waste it on fleshly lust? Did I not, you know, because of not obeying God's word? Believe me, this is, and the goal is that when we finally do get judged, are we going to receive the reward, which is God saying, you know, enter into the joy of my son, Jesus Christ. So these are the things that we're looking for.
Yeah, there are so many types in the Bible. One we could just mention is don't be like Esau, right? Who gave up his inheritance to satisfy a fleshly lust, essentially hunger, you know? We don't want to be like Esau. You know, and it's, again, important to realize that inheritance is not guaranteed, because if it were, there'd be no need to hope, right? It would just be faith at that point.
Sure.
So, you know, I think that's what it really means when it says, when the Bible says, be ready to make a defense. It's really about a defense against the idea that justification alone is enough to inherit heavenly riches. You know, it's a call to sanctification. It's a call to purity, to always choosing the harder path of righteousness, and denying those lusts of the flesh again. Why? In order that we might attain something much greater than earthly riches or pleasures, as the Bible says, as we heard today, something greater than gold, you know, spiritual gold and spiritual riches.
Amen to that. So for all you Christian apologists out there that are listening, take this main takeaway. You could be reading scripture over and over and over again and quoting that scripture, sharing the gospel, but if you don't really look carefully at what is being taught by the epistles, you're going to miss the key element here. This is really what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to know in our heart, that there's a reason for us as Christians to be willing to suffer for his name.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Don't forget to visit our website at 20mbs.org. That's 20mbs as in minute Bible studies.org. Our website has a free archive of all lessons, links to our Facebook account and discussion forum, ways to support this ministry, and more.
You can also sign up to receive an email whenever we upload a new Bible study. Our first email will even include a link to a special series titled 10 Mind-Blowing Things You Didn't Know Were in the Bible. This eye-opening set of Bible lessons is our gift to you when you join our community. So be sure to visit us at 20mbs.org.
While you're there, please also consider donating in support of Give 20, our special initiative to reach as many spiritually hungry Christians as we can. We all know studying the Word of God is vital to our spiritual growth, yet it can be so hard sometimes to find a good study group and then attend that group on a regular basis. That's why we created 20-Minute Bible Studies.
The Give 20 Initiative is your chance to participate in this great ministry.
To join the Give 20 Initiative, visit our website and click Donate.
Thanks for joining us for another 20-Minute Bible Study. Special thanks to the family of Pastor Gary T. Whipple, to the Abundant Life Worship Center for the music for our show, and to Tom Pine for our scripture reading. I'm Steve Zioli, and until next time, may the Word of Christ dwell in you richly. Jesus.
All rights reserved. Mysteries of the Kingdom Incorporated.